Lord, as we come before your word, we ask that your spirit would move in our midst, that we would be able to focus, that we would understand your word, that we would joyfully apply it to our lives. Lord, show us our responsibility, our duty to one another. Help us to delight in it. Help us to see it for the privilege that it is. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. Last week, we discussed how we have been equipped to minister to one another. Each one of us is ready for service. In the church, we've all been given the right tools for the job of ministry. Specifically, each one of us is a minister. In fact, maybe you noticed that in the bulletin. Go ahead, if you've got a bulletin, look at it. Right underneath the name of the church, it says Pastor David Blair, and then it says ministers, the entire congregation. I made that change this week, but I think we're just going to stick with it because it's biblical, right? Every member is a minister. The whole church are the ministers. We're all to be busy doing the work of ministry. This morning, I want us to specifically focus on the goal of our ministry. What is the aim that we're after? Our text is Ephesians 4. I'll read verses 11 through 16. Hear now the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, inerrant, infallible word. And he gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. We're going to spend 2 weeks on this text. Next week, we're going to examine the ways that we minister to one another. We'll answer this question: how do we minister to one another? That's next week. But for this week, I want us to focus on why we minister to one another. What is the goal of our ministry? What is the aim of our service to one another? But first, I want us just to quickly review what we saw last week in regard to this every member ministry. So look again at verses 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles and prophets, the evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints, that's all of us, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So what we see here is that every member is equipped for the work of ministry to the end that the body is built up. The work of ministry is intended to build up the church, the body of Christ. So why do we minister to one another? What's our goal? What's the aim? Well, it's right there at the end of verse 12, to build up the body of Christ. Apparently, the church still needs a lot of work. The church isn't finished. It's still under construction. And we are equipped to help in that building up of the body of Christ. So our goal is to build up. Of course, that's the opposite of tearing down. Our goal is intended to strengthen. That's our ministry. We're supposed to be adding strength, not tearing away at the supports, not weakening. We're not to destroy, rather we're to build up, to support. We're to help, not to hurt. We're to build up, not to knock down. And these kinds of commands, they come at us again and again in the New Testament. So let me draw your attention to a few. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, encourage one another and build one another up. So a good coach builds up his athletes, right? That coach, he says things that encourage, that are positive and helpful. Now, that coach also has to bring correction and give instruction. But a good coach is not tearing down the players. A good coach is seeking to build them up. There's this positive sense that's here with encouragement and building up. So practically, this means that we are called to speak words that motivate one another, that encourage each other to press on, to keep at it. This means that we rewrite cards of encouragement. We remind one another of the hope that we have. We come alongside one another. We offer help and assistance. It means that we practice affirmation. That is, we point out the good in others. We thank God for what we see Him doing in the lives of others. This is the ministry that we are called to. Again, in Romans 14, verse 19, we read this. Pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So this isn't just one-sided. We are to be building each other up in both directions, a mutual encouragement. We are seeking to help one another mature, to assist each other. We're working together as a team. And I think that means that we're refusing to simply criticize and argue, but rather we're trying to work together. Romans 15, verse 2, we have this command. Let each of you please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. So building one another up specifically refers to doing good for others, seeking what will benefit each other. This is part of the task we're called to. Or listen to Jude 20. Beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. So in this context, the building up is specifically learning the truths of Christian doctrine. It's reminding one another, teaching one another, speaking the truth of Scripture to one another. Earlier in Jude, he speaks of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. He's referring to what we believe. And here, he tells us to build ourselves up in this most holy faith. Later in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, we read this. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So here there's a kind of talk that is to be avoided. We're not supposed to have rotten, corrupting talk. Rather, we're supposed to have words flow from our mouth that intentionally build up, that strengthen, that encourage, that help. We are to give grace to those who hear. We're only to speak words that help. I think that's the simple idea here. We are to intentionally strengthen one another in both word and deed. All that we do in our ministry should have as its end goal to edify, to encourage, to build up the people of God. And then what we have next in the text, there in verse 13, is two reasons why we seek to build up the body. So look at verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So first, we build one another up that we may attain unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And then secondly, that we come to mature manhood, which is the stature of the fullness of Christ. So let's think through each of these. Part of our goal is to build unity, right? We're building up the body, and that means we're building unity among the people of God. Specifically, we're told here that we're seeking after the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So again, that faith refers to Christian doctrine. So we're supposed to be unified in knowing the truth of Scripture. And then secondly, he refers to the knowledge of the Son of God. So we need to know the Scripture, but especially the gospel, the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what's on display there. Listen again. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. How's your knowledge of the Son of God? Can you easily explain the good news to someone else? We should be unified in our ability to know and express the gospel. When I'm sharing the gospel with someone, I tend to use four headings that help just in my mind help me make sure I cover what needs to be said. So here's the four things. God, man, Christ, response. So God, he's the maker of all. We are accountable to him. Secondly, man. Mankind has sinned against God. We've rebelled against our maker. And because of that, we are deserving of God's judgment. His wrath should be poured upon us. That's prerequisite to the gospel. Well, we don't really get to the good news until we get to Christ. But we need to understand God and man. When we get to Christ, now we get to celebrate that God in his mercy sent a Savior for sinners like us. He sent his own Son who lived that perfect life, then chose to die a substitutionary death. He bore the wrath of God against our sin. He is the very propitiation, the satisfying of God's wrath for us. He rose from the dead to show that he really had paid it all. That's the heart of the gospel. But of course, that last word is response. The gospel has a response. And specifically, there's two things that we need to do in response to the gospel. We need to repent and believe. And so we need to guide people towards those very behaviors. Turning away from sin, taking hold of Christ, trusting, relying upon what he has done. This is the essence of the gospel. As the people of God, we should be able to be unified in our explanation of this good news. But lastly, the gospel is not just information. It's not something that we merely know. It's something that we should know so intimately, so personally, that it actually transforms the way we live. We're not just those who are saved by grace, but we are those who are transformed by it. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, we have one of the reasons that Jesus died upon the cross. Here's what Peter writes. He says that Jesus, he himself bore our sin in his body on the tree. Here it is. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So part of what Jesus was accomplishing is not just the forgiveness of our sins, but that we would now be transformed. We would be made into people who turn away from sin and delight to walk in his ways. This is the type of unity that we are to seek after. Now, but I speak of seeking after, attaining unity. But you'll recall earlier in the chapter, we already addressed that God has given us unity and that we are to maintain it. That's verse 3. And now here in verse 13, and we're to attain to it. How can it fit in all these different categories? How can unity be something that's given to us, something that we take care of and protect, and something that we're striving for? Well, I think that's exactly what is being said here. And it's simply this. It's that there are degrees of unity. Think of it this way. The unity that Christ has given us is like a seed. And that seed needs to be cultivated. It needs to be taken care of. That's what we saw back in verse 3. Maintain the unity. But here is the last aspect. This seed is to grow and mature. And this is what we're longing for, this mature plant. So we have been given a unity, but we're supposed to take care of that unity and strive for there to be even more unity. That seems to be what's on display here. As the people of God, we need to grow in our understanding of the doctrines of the Scripture. We need to grow in our experience of the gospel into every aspect of life. This is why, as a church, the whole church gathers to hear the word of God preached, so that together we all grow up in the truth of the word of God. This is something that we're doing together. We're all speaking to the unity of the faith. So part of what the whole church is striving for is this unity. But secondly, we build one another up in the church specifically for maturity. So another part of our goal is to build maturity. Listen again to verse 13. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, then here it is, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there, I think, again, he's just kind of saying it in two different ways. The maturity that we're after is Christ-likeness. We, as the people of God, are supposed to be like the Savior. We're called to grow up, to mature, to be sanctified. We are to be conformed into the image of Christ. We need to be made more like him. And Paul clarifies his meaning. We're supposed to be mature, not immature. There's something we're to not be like, and that's what you see in verse 14. So look there. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. So he says, we're not supposed to be like little children. Children are fickle. You know, they want one toy, and then it doesn't take long before they decide they want another one. You go to the ice cream shop, and they finally pick that one flavor, but then their brother or sister picks a different flavor, and now they're upset because they want that flavor, right? I mean, they go back and forth. They can be so easily swayed and pushed about. And here, we're supposed to avoid that kind of thinking, that kind of behavior. The immature in the faith, they are easily influenced. They can be fickle, unstable, gullible. But we are being called to the opposite. We're to be discerning, to be perceptive, to be stable, to know the truth and have conviction. We must be careful not to be deceived. Did you see that language in the text? Listen to verse 14 again. That we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So there are false doctrines that we need to vigilantly avoid. We need to be careful not to be deceived. We need to know the truth. The mature are those who are confident and convinced of sound doctrine. They know the scripture. And as the people of God, we're striving to all have that kind of maturity together. See, the aim of our ministry is the upbuilding of the body of Christ so that there is unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of Christ. And secondly, so that the whole church matures together into this Christ-likeness. Now, if you think about this very long at all, you start to realize that these two goals are really one. These things overlap. We should be unified in our Christ-likeness. As a whole church, we need to grow up. We want to collectively be conformed into the image of Christ. So let me just word it differently. Our goal is to build a unified maturity, right? Our aim is not just that individuals be built up, but that the whole be built up. We're not just seeking to do good to parts, but to the whole. What we're really after in our ministry is to build one another up, so that the whole church together is mature. I think that's what Paul said his goal was. Listen to Colossians 1:28. Paul says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." What a phrase. Everyone mature in Christ. That's what he's after. And so he continues, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Paul is saying that what he's working hard for, what he is enabled by God to do, is to strive for the maturity of the whole people of God, that we would all be mature in Christ. This is what Paul's ministry was about, and I think that's exactly what he's saying for us as well. This is what our ministry should be aiming at. This should be our goal. This is our mission. Or is it? Think with me of the Great Commission, right? At the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the end of the age." You see, our mission is not merely evangelism, it's discipleship. We're to be making disciples. And part of that is teaching these disciples to observe all that he commanded. He wants us all to grow up, all of us to know the word and to live the word. He wants us to know what we believe, why we believe it. He wants us to live it and to share it. This is the goal that we're striving towards. The goal of discipleship is maturity. It's fully devoted followers of Christ. It's those who are Christ-like. And here we're being told, it's not just that I need to seek my own sanctification, but that I need to seek the sanctification of the whole church of which I am a member. Instead of being immature, we are called to help one another grow up. Look what he says in verses 15 and 16. "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Next week, we're going to come back and focus here in verse 15 on specifically how we build one another up. But so far, here's what we've seen. We've seen why we are to build one another up. We've seen the goal. We've seen the aim. It's that we would grow up. The goal of every member ministry is that we would build one another up to a unified maturity. Our service aims at helping the whole church grow into Christ's likeness. The reason we build one another up is so that the whole church increasingly be unified in faith and be mature in our practice, in the way that we live. Now, this takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time and effort to build something. I remember as a little boy, I liked to play with little wooden blocks. And one particular occasion, for some reason, it's vividly in my mind, I built this tower. And my big brother came in and took a ball and said, "Air raid!" and threw this ball and just destroyed my whole tower. I had been in there for who knows how long. And then he, just in an instant, destroys the whole thing. And brothers and sisters, we have to remember that what we're striving to build can be so quickly destroyed. Our words and actions can wreak devastation so quickly. Rather, we are called to intentionally build one another up. We must be careful not to bite and devour one another. Rather than speaking words that discourage, we are to encourage. Rather than hurting, we are to help. Rather than finding fault, we should be looking for the good. Building up the church is a patient work. It can't be rushed. Think of the human body. It really does take a long time for it to grow and to mature. Well, that's true of the church. We have to be patient with one another and help one another grow. So one last piece I want us to notice. So halfway through verse 15, he says, "We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Here we're told that the body of Christ builds itself up when each part is working properly. Now, for the body to naturally mature, every part has to function, has to do what it's supposed to do. And well, that's true in the life of the church. We can't just sit back and not do anything. No, we have a part to play. Every part is to be working properly. So let me just simply conclude by asking you, are you doing your part? to build up the body of Christ? Are you helping to build the church? Are you strengthening the people of God? If so, how are you doing that? You should have answers coming to your mind. How are you helping the church attain to the unity of faith? How are you helping the church to mature? In what ways are you taking action? What are you doing on a regular basis to help fellow church members follow Jesus? We're in this together. There's a mutual upbuilding. We're called to build one another up. My prayer is simply this, that we would take serious our responsibility, this great duty. We would see it as an incredible privilege to build up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and the maturity of Christ-likeness. Let's pray together. Lord, we need your help. It's so easy to sit by and let someone else do the ministry, do the work that needs to be done. And yet you have given each one of us a job to do. Lord, in all the various ways that we serve and care for one another, I pray that you would help us to intentionally seek to do good to others. Help us to build up the body of Christ. Help us to seek greater unity. And help us to chase after maturity. Oh, that we would indeed be conformed into the image of your Son. Lord, we know that ultimately this is what you were doing with your people. And yet you tell us that we have a part to play in it. Help us, Lord. Empower us. Encourage us to be an encouragement to others. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus.